A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sim. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display? I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 117. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this is a bonus episode. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
It has been far too long since we have done a bonus episode covering feedback from our listeners and a bit of news and that sort of thing. And it's just because things have gotten in the way. We haven't had time to do it. And of course, it's always our priority to do our regular main episodes, which are discussions of various British science fiction TV series.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we've had lots of shows to cover. We've got lots of shows coming up. So it's just finding the time to fit in these feedback episodes when we can. But we're going to talk about some feedback in this show. And you can leave us feedback by email. You can send us email to britishinvaders@gmail.com. Or you can go on the website and leave comments on the various show pages at britishinvaders.com. Or, of course, you can now jump in and join in the quite active discussions on Facebook. We have a Facebook group, so searching for British Invaders will find us there. And there's usually quite a lot of discussion going on, particularly in recent months, Brian.
Yes, it's been great to have some good involved discussion happening on our Facebook group. And I hope we continue to get more of that. So if you're interested in the kinds of things we talk about, please, by all means, jump in. And we do read everything that comes in through Facebook and on the blog comments and through email as well. And we take note of all of the shows you've been suggesting. And we have covered shows that listeners have suggested before. And we always are adding things to lists and keeping track of things. So it's always great to get ideas and suggestions from you.
Yeah, absolutely. Please keep them coming. You know, as we say, we do look forward to all the comments and in particular to show suggestions, especially if it's stuff we haven't heard about, which is great to hear from our sort of listeners. So yeah, do keep the comments coming, please.
Yes, absolutely. And I will mention, we have scheduled our set of shows that we will be covering for 2012. So suggestions coming in, if there are things we haven't scheduled already, those will be things now for after 2012. And I think we will have a nice selection of things to cover for 2012 with a good variety of shows, some things that are a little bit newer, and yeah, some interesting things. So that should be fun.
Okay, but before we get to a little bit of feedback in the show, I think we've got one or two news items, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. We're not going to do as extensive a news section as we have sometimes because we have a lot of feedback now. But let's mention a couple of things. There was a 1965 production of 1984 that was done on the BBC. It was actually a remount or a reuse of Nigel Neal's script from the 1954 version of 1984. We covered the 1954 version of 1984 on British Invaders. It was a fantastic show to watch. And we mentioned that there was also this 1965 version that used the same script. And we couldn't say too much about it because that was in fact missing. Well, the good news is that the 1965 production has been rediscovered. It's been found. That was through a project with the Library of Congress, working with a variety of content producers from around the world to try to rediscover things that were missing. So this version, which featured David Buck and Joseph O'Connor and Jane Merrow and also Cyril Shapps, it now once again exists in archive, which is really exciting. And hopefully there'll be a release of that. It would be really interesting to see it.
Yes, it would be fantastic to get a chance to see it. And it would seem like the ideal opportunity for the BBC, perhaps, to put out a DVD covering both the 1954 and the 1965 versions. It would be a perfect opportunity, and we'd love the opportunity to actually buy that, wouldn't we, Brian?
Yes, that would be a fantastic disc to buy. I would certainly love to have that in my collection.
Yeah. So, you know, interesting news about that and the finds in the Library of Congress collection. I think I have to note that it was a user called Hypercaust, or by a user name of Hypercaust, who tipped me off on one of the blog pages that the 1965 version had been found. So thanks for that. Very interesting news.
Yes, there were a variety of interesting things that had been found in that project. I believe that was the only science fiction one. But there were some interesting things there.
Okay, we live in hope, as ever, of other missing shows turning up.
Absolutely.
So we also talk about, from time to time, various Big Finish audio productions and also their sort of sister company, Textbook Stuff, who do adaptations and readings of classic works of sort of genre fiction. And they've got something coming up there as well, Brian.
Yes, Textbook Stuff does some interesting work. What they usually do are these unabridged readings of classic public domain stories, and they add full sound design and music to them, and they are produced in such a way that it really goes beyond just a regular audiobook. It has a lot of sort of very dramatic elements, even though fundamentally it is one voice reading the original text of a story. Usually what they've done are release a collection of about 3 to 5 short stories by the same author with sort of ghost stories and this sort of thing. Well, they are doing their first novella. They will be doing a release of Carmilla by Sheridan Lefanu, which will be, I think, a 3 or 4 hour recording read by Miriam Margolyes with a full set of music and sound design. And it's sort of a much bigger and more ambitious type of release than what they've done in the past. And from the couple of little clips I've heard, it sounds like it will be a very good recording to listen to indeed.
Okay, sounds like an interesting one. And Miriam Margolyes is a great voice actress, so that would be good. Shall we move on to feedback and some comments and corrections we've had on various shows we've covered in the past?
I think that's a good idea.
So we heard from Mike at the Gatecast, which is a Stargate podcast, and he's got in touch with us and actually sent us a short audio clip about the program October that we covered quite some time ago on British Invaders. We're just going to play that clip in now.
Hi, Brian and Eamon. I picked up October on DVD after the first segment of your coverage, and only just found time to watch it. So many things get priority over a show I wasn't interested in when it first came on telly. I also delayed listening to the conclusion of your coverage until I'd watched it, to keep some of the surprise and to form my own opinions. First off, I really liked Stephen Gallagher's 11th Hour, both the US and UK versions, so I had high hopes, which were made more concrete thanks to your own initial discussions. So, a few points. The character of Jim at first was oh so pathetic. A lovesick schoolboy would have been ashamed of such pursuit. Yet he then uses a stolen ID to infiltrate a private complex. Interesting contradictions in character there. That said, throughout the story, he does grow significantly. And when he makes this speech...
Take a message. This is for all of you. I don't care how big you are. I don't care how powerful you are. I am gonna bring you down. Anything you did to me, I'm gonna use against you. Is that understood? Good.
He has, perhaps for the first time, claimed his own future and was prepared to do whatever it took. The supporting roles were all solid, although a generic look for a villain, tempered by the truly evil Rochelle and her minions, who played with Jim's life with little consideration, apart from the owner of the floating beetle, of course. I think they merge the scientific and supernatural elements very well, if indeed you can call them supernatural. No reason the place where the soul resides before and after life needs to be supernatural, so we can call it spiritual. Either way, we got a good conclusion to the story, and after 2.5 hours, I came away completely satisfied, which is all you can ask for. But a great recommendation, guys, and now I can listen to the Invisible Man and Dark Season episodes. Mike from the UK, Gatecast co-host, signing off.
And thank you, Mike. Some interesting thoughts there. Thanks. Now, we had a number of comments about Ultraviolet. This was the 1990s vampires who were never called vampires type show that we covered on that one little period of time when, Eamon, you weren't actually available. So we had Eric and Ilona standing in, and the three of us did a discussion that was a little bit different.
That's right. I remember an all-Canadian episode.
Yes, it was indeed. And it was actually, we hadn't been planning to cover that at that time at all, so it was a little bit rushed. And there were a couple of errors in there, actually. We've had very few errors and very few things we've had to correct for quite a while now, but in that case, there were a couple. And one was that we mentioned, I think Eric mentioned, that the Code 5 hunters, the sort of vampire hunter type characters in this, went with the cover name CIB, or that they called their organization CIB, when in fact it was just the first episode where they were using CIB, which is the Complaints Investigation Branch, as a cover name. So that's apparently a real organization, or it was at the time, and it was just their cover name in that one episode. They never really had a name for the organization. So that was something that we just slightly missed in there, but that's what it was. It was their cover name for that episode.
Oh, okay, right.
And the other thing was that I had mentioned that the American pilot episode, which was never aired and doesn't have that much information out there about it, I had mentioned that one of the actors in it was Lisa Going. In fact, it was Joanna Going. I guess that's what I get for following what was listed in Wikipedia, because Wikipedia had an error there. But it was, in fact, Joanna Going who was in the American Ultraviolet pilot.
Okay, as you say, an interesting show, Ultraviolet, and it really spits people down the middle. And as ever, if you have comments on that show, please tell us about them. Come in on the Facebook page and add your comments.
Yeah, absolutely. And our discussion of it was a little bit different, and in some ways not quite as thorough in how we set it up. But yeah, definitely an interesting one to talk about.
Okay, turning to another interesting show we've covered way back on episodes 82 and 83, and that was The Last Train. And we had a comment which you can find on our website in the comment section for the second episode. So that would be our episode 83. And that was from Mark in the UK, who had quite a lot to say about this show. I think I could summarize it by saying that he was, or he is, a fan of The Survivors, and he enjoyed the rather dismal, bleak outlook of The Last Train. And he goes on to compare it to the sort of horrific and lasting impact of another show, Threads, which we've also talked about. And so he sort of groups them in that sort of that same area of rather gloomy science fiction television. But it is, you know, it was interesting stuff to talk about. And thanks for the comments, Mark. Very interesting.
Yeah, I hadn't drawn the connection to Threads, but it does sort of fit. They did share a very bleak kind of imagery. And they shared the idea of seeing people just after the disaster, or who in their experiences it was just after the disaster, and then seeing the world decades later. So, interesting comparison, yeah. We also had some comments about Crime Traveler, the time travel show we covered a while back. This was from Donna in Kentucky, and she enjoyed our discussion and then went and checked out Crime Travelers on YouTube. So some of it is available there, as well as being available on DVD. And she also commented that she thought Jeff Slade, the lead character in there, was very cute and is enjoying a variety of things that we've been talking about in the podcast, which is great. So thank you, Donna.
Yes, thank you very much. I mean, as you say, she's been enjoying an awful lot of British science fiction television, several of the big shows, Doctor Who, Torchwood, and The Tomorrow People. So lots of stuff there that she's been linking us to, or rather, you know, enjoying through the podcast.
Yeah, it's always fun to hear people's stories about what they have been enjoying over the years in British science fiction and what we've been linking back to and so on. Early in 2011, the Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV podcast did a top 100 TV shows of all time countdown, which was really interesting discussion and countdown with all kinds of sci-fi and fantasy and sort of sci-fi related humor types of shows. Lots and lots of things covered there. And a number of things that we've covered were mentioned on that. I recorded a few comments that ended up in their episodes as well. So that was a really nice little production there, and it is still available. A series of 10 episodes of Top 100 Countdown with lots of great details. So here is the promo for the Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV Top 100 TV Shows Countdown.
There is nothing wrong with your television set.
Sarah Jane Smith.
How do you do, Miss Smith?
You're the Slayer, and we're like the Slayerettes.
Gentlemen, I suggest you beam me aboard.
Chevron 7 locked.
Flight calm, I can't hold it. She's breaking up. She's breaking.
You are the one who was.
By your command.
Oh, boy.
Found me dead.
Bite my shiny metal ass.
Because you are the true seeker.
If someone ever tries to kill you, you try to kill him right back.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
Michael, I thought I'd never see you again.
Missed it by that much.
Then try to tell yourself, wherever you may be, it couldn't happen here.
Come with me if you want to live.
Welcome to the top 100 genre television shows of all time, as voted by you, the fans. Check out the countdown at tuningintosci-fi-tv.com.
Okay, moving on to another show that we talked about, which didn't make it into the top 100 TV shows from Tune Into Sci-Fi TV. The Omega Factor, a show from way back. It's one of the first things that we talked about after I came on to the podcast. And I think when we discussed it, we were wondering whether it had been shown in North America. And we've had an email from Nick Sauer, who's been a very active contributor on our Facebook page. And I hope I'm saying your surname correctly, Nick. And he tells us that the show was definitely shown in the US. And he remembers bumpers on the PBS Doctor Who broadcasts with Louise Jameson, who, of course, was in both shows, talking about the show and encouraging Doctor Who fans to check out The Omega Factor. He says he wasn't repeated after that, but he knows that one of his friends watched it at the time, and he presumes that with this being a public broadcast show, that they were getting contributions which they thought they would get from Doctor Who and Monty Python fans, who obviously had contributed freely before for British shows. So presumably that's why they got it. And he said that was on the WMHT channel in Albany, New York. So interesting. We always like to know about other releases and broadcasts of these shows. So thanks for getting in touch, Nick.
Yes, that would have been in the late 1970s, I believe, sort of when it around when it came out that they aired that. And of course, with the PBS stations, it was very inconsistent across the country. So you could have the one station in Albany broadcasting that, and then many other PBS stations may not have broadcast it at all. And it is, unfortunately, sometimes a little bit difficult to find out exactly what was broadcast where and when. So it's interesting to hear that that did get some broadcast in the States around then. So yeah, thanks for that, Nick. Felix Dembinski was listening to our Ace of Wands podcast, the second part we did on that. And we had mentioned that no material, no audio or visual material existed for season one or season two, and it's only season three that exists. And it sounds like we did actually make an error there, because there is some audio for some of the season two episodes. So all of the Seven Serpents episodes and the Nightmare Gas and a few of the episodes of The Eye of Ra from season two, those do exist in audio form in various collections, and some of them are available at YouTube as well. So, yeah, we didn't know about that, so thank you for pointing that out, Felix. And I should mention that these are fan recordings where people just sort of held a tape recorder up to a television. So they're not the greatest recordings, but they are something and a great addition to what's available for Ace of Wands.
Yes, absolutely. These, as you say, off-air recordings, which presumably haven't had the love and attention from, is it Mark Ayres, who does all the sound production for the the audio on the early Doctor Who's that are missing.
Yes, on the missing Doctor Who episodes, we have quite good audio recordings. And that is in part because Mark Ayers is doing this quite advanced audio restoration on them. But it's also the case that I think every missing episode of Doctor Who has something like four different recordings from different fans. So not only are they restoring it, but they have several different ones. So for each scene and each line, they can choose the best sounding recording of the ones that are available.
Yeah, that's right.
So they really have a pretty good set of sources for doing the Doctor Who audio. And in fact, they've been released on CD with narration as well. So that is really nice. But if you want to check out some of the Ace of Wands stuff, some of it is out there and on YouTube. And in order to make it make a bit more sense, the scripts are available on the DVDs as well. So you might even be interested in following along with those.
Okay. So turning from feedback and corrections, we move on to suggestions for shows we might cover in the future.
These are always fun.
These are always fun. And if there's one show that I think we've had suggested more times than any other, Brian, it would probably be Space 1999. And perhaps, you know, Ed Stafford, I think, wins the prize for being the first one to suggest it to us, asking when will we cover Space 1999? And the answer is quite soon.
Yes, that's right. We will be covering Space 1999. And in fact, the reason that we haven't covered it until now is that as it's a longer series, it has, I think, close to 50 episodes that are about 50 minutes long each. It's a fairly long series compared to a lot of the things we cover. And we usually only do one or two shows that are as long as that each year. So it sort of takes us a little bit longer to get around to them. But as you say, we will be getting around to that soon.
Yeah, absolutely. As you say, it's a big show with a lot to look, watch, and a lot to talk about. But yeah, it is coming up very shortly. Stay tuned.
We also had questions about a show called Out of the Unknown, which is an interesting show. And Phil Birkin asked us about this and was looking at it, I think, on YouTube. It hasn't been released on DVD, and some of it is missing. But Out of the Unknown is definitely an interesting show. It was a little bit like The Twilight Zone or something like that. It was an anthology series from the 60s and early 70s. And it is an interesting show, and we well may be covering it in the future.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there's some huge science fiction names attached and associated with that show. As you say, there are only bits of it that survive, but we will be hopefully getting to those at some point in the future.
Yeah, it's interesting stuff for sure. So we've had some contact from Ryan over at the British TV podcast. They cover television that is new and being currently broadcast and coming out on British TV, covering a variety of genres. And yeah, they have some interesting stuff happening there. It's quite a neat show they run. Here is the promo for the British TV podcast.
I'm Ryan in Seattle. Join me and my co-host Chrissy each week for the British TV podcast. Each show has up-to-the-minute news covering all genres of British television, reviews, the week's broadcast highlights, DVD releases in America, and a feature on a current show or TV personality. That's the British TV Podcast. Check us out on iTunes or at www.britishtvpodcast.com.
So thank you for that, Ryan.
Yes, thank you. And we turn to perhaps sadder news. We have talked in the past about the sad deaths of Elizabeth Sladen and Nicholas Courtney. And both of your sort of audio histories and the guides to the characters they played on Doctor Who, I think they received very sort of like positive and, you know, comments from people who do sort of, I think, appreciated the history and the comments. And I think perhaps Sam in this email sums it up when he says, "I enjoyed the bonus episode on Nicholas Courtney. I share your warm recollection of Nicholas's contribution to Doctor Who. It was especially nice that his involvement spans several decades and number of incarnations of the Doctor." So thanks for that, Sam. And thanks to you, Brian, for doing those sort of potted histories.
Well, it was nice to be able to talk about those actors a little bit than the contributions that they made over the years, which were definitely remarkable and very memorable. Those little discussions that I did were also run on the Pod Culture podcast, and it was very nice to be able to have those going out there as well. Now, on to other things. Eamon, you and I have both had some other little side projects going on. You have been setting up this British Invaders 30-day challenge, which I have to say I have really been enjoying. Why didn't you tell us what that is?
Well, it's one of these 30-day challenges that runs on blog pages or Facebook or Twitter. And we were looking to do one on British science fiction television. And because I couldn't find one, we sort of compiled the questions, the 30 categories, mainly from suggestions on the Facebook page. So the actual 30-day British Invaders challenge was more or less written by the listeners on the Facebook page. And then we've posted up the questions, and I've done it on my blog, but also more recently, several of our listeners have been contributing with their various nominations for the different categories on the Facebook page, which has shown an awful lot of activity recently, which we've really enjoyed, I think, Brian.
Yes, it's been really fun. So the challenge itself, which you assembled, Eamon, is basically a list of one question per day that you can do 30 days in a row, or in the way you like to do it, which are questions like who was your favorite doctor, who was your favorite character not from Doctor Who, what was your earliest British sci-fi memory, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, stuff like that.
And anyone can do this challenge and post their answers on Facebook or on Twitter or a blog page and have a sort of running commentary over 30 days of what their answers to the various questions are.
Absolutely. And of course, we love to see discussion about British science fiction television and to read what other people think. So I'll post the link to the actual challenge questions in the show notes. And if you are doing this challenge on your Facebook page or on your Twitter feed, then do perhaps drop by the Facebook page and post a link for us so we can follow along with you as well.
Yeah, it's definitely really fun to hear different people's answers about different questions. There have definitely been some unexpected things on there and some things that reminded me of things, and it's definitely been really fun. I have not yet done the challenge myself as of this recording, but I am planning to do it at some point for sure.
Okay, we all look forward to that. And as we say, lots of interesting discussion about British science fiction television. And for more discussion about British science fiction television and Doctor Who in particular, we can turn to Brian's side project, which is another podcast you're involved with, Brian.
Yes, I am now part of the Type 40 podcast, which is a Doctor Who podcast from the Geek Culture Network. British Invaders is also in the Geek Culture Network. And we are covering all sorts of Doctor Who things, the current things that are going out now, and some classic series things. We've been covering Torchwood as well. We plan to cover other Doctor Who-related shows like the Sarah Jane Adventures and get into some things with the audios, the books, and so on. And we range from having about 3 hosts on a show up to more like 6 or 7, and it tends to be a very informal discussion with lots of tangents and going off topic in all sorts of ways. So it's a fun little discussion, very different from British Invaders, a much more casual, unstructured kind of show. So it's really fun.
It is a fun show, and as you say, some old Doctor Who and some new Doctor Who mixed in, and a sort of cast of people with sort of varying experience with Doctor Who. Some of them are watching the classic serial for the first time with you. And then there's people like yourself, of course, who've got much more experience of it all.
Yeah, exactly. And if you remember the podcast I was also involved with, Milk Carton TV, that is currently on a bit of a hiatus. We aren't doing much with Milk Carton TV, but many of the same people from Milk Carton TV are involved with the Type 40 podcast.
Okay. And again, we'll post a link to that in the show notes for this episode. Okay, so I guess that will wrap us up for this bonus episode, Brian.
I think so.
Do join us next time when, as previously trailed, we will be talking about Space 1999, Gerry Anderson's live-action show from the mid-70s, a long-running show, or at least a large number of episodes, and lots to talk about there, Brian, I think.
Yes, definitely lots to talk about. That will be a fun one to get into for sure. You can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at www.BritishInvaders.com. We have a Facebook group, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find us there. So thank you for listening. This is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much for listening and for all your contributions. And until our next episode, this is Eamon in England, also signing off.